This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 New Daily Podcast for Monday, March 30th. I'm Jeff Bosser. Coming up, Amy Guida has this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News. We'll also check your forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, today's news. Governor Pat Quinn says he doesn't need legislative approval to merge Illinois' Historic Preservation Agency with the State Department of Natural Resources. Quinn told the editorial board of the State Journal Register in Springfield last week that he doesn't expect opposition to the move. The Democrat says it would save money that could go toward reopening and maintaining a dozen historic sites. Former Governor Rob Blagojevich closed the sites last year in a budget-cutting move. Officials from both groups say a merger would be good, but Republican State Representative Rich Brower of Petersburg says the management of historic sites may suffer under a consolidated agency. And Republican Representative Raymond Poe of Springfield says Quinn is wrong about not needing an okay from lawmakers. Federal prosecutors have only a week left to indict former Illinois Governor Rob Blagojevich. Robert Wildenboer has more.
When authorities arrested Blagojevich back in December, it was based on a criminal complaint. Prosecutors didn't have the case all tied up in a bow, but U.S. Attorney Patrick Fitzgerald rushed to bring charges because he said Blagojevich was in the middle of a crime spree.
Sometimes when there's ongoing criminal conduct, and this is a very different case than what we often see, we will expose the criminal conduct and bring charges to let people know we're onto it, and hopefully to put a stop to it.
Now, to move forward with the case against Blagojevich, federal law requires prosecutors to indict him to convince a grand jury that they've got enough evidence to pursue the case. The deadline for indicting the former governor is April 7th, next Tuesday. Prosecutors could ask a federal judge for an extension of that deadline, but they've already done that once, buying them the April 7th date. While they have until then, an indictment could be returned earlier, perhaps sometime this week.
That was Illinois Public Radio's Robert Wildenboer. As Illinois taxpayers look down the barrel of a major income tax increase, another tax already is draining their wallets. It's the corruption tax, the extra money they pay because of dishonest public officials. People pay it when politicians give government jobs to unqualified cronies and when law enforcement spends millions prosecuting crooked politicians. The head of political science at the University of Illinois at Chicago, Dick Simpson, found that altogether 1,000 public officials and businessmen have been convicted of public corruption in Illinois since 1970. It's impossible to calculate the full cost of the corruption tax. Simpson's come up with a $300 million estimate, but that focuses on the Chicago area and doesn't directly apply to taxpayers downstate. Dog owners who force their pets to fight can already face felony charges. Illinois may make standing by and watching a high crime as well. Amanda Vinicky has more.
In November, Cook County sheriffs arrested more than 50 people watching two pit bulls maul one another. In that case, several men admitted they owned the dogs, but Democratic Representative Marlo Colvin of Chicago says that can be hard for police to determine.
I mean, there are dogs in the pit fighting when they break down the doors of these highly circulative illegal activities. Keep in mind, these dogs aren't registered with the local kennel club. There's no ownership papers. There's no way to identify an owner from a handler to a spectator.
Colvin says they're all culpable. He wants to stiffen the penalty for knowingly attending a dogfight, up from a misdemeanor charge to a felony, which could bring 1 to 3 years of prison time. Colvin says it's a deterrent to illegal betting on dogfights and could help stop cruelty to animals. The measure was approved by the House. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Satisfying your sweet tooth could soon take a bigger bite out of your wallet. As Todd Fuhr reports, a measure in the Illinois House would impose a new sales tax on soft drinks.
Representative David Miller, a Calumet City Democrat, is co-sponsoring a proposal to charge an additional 5% tax on soft drink purchases throughout the state. That would be on top of sales taxes. The money from the so-called soda tax would be used to pay for state-funded dental care programs.
We feel that this is something very specific that affects teeth, that if folks want to indulge in this, that it would help offset some of the costs for dental care.
Supporters estimate the tax could generate $94 million for oral health care services, dental clinics, and other programs to attract dentists to underserved communities. But Timothy Bramlett, executive director of the Illinois Beverage Association, says it's unfair to single out soft drinks as a cause of dental problems.
There are an awful lot of other things, sugary foods, for example, that can contribute to tooth decay that, you know, wouldn't be impacted by this legislation.
Bramlett also says many diet soft drinks that would be taxed don't have the high sugar content that can cause tooth decay. I'm Todd Fuhrer.
The late March snow that struck northern Illinois has passed out of the state, but flood warnings and watches remained in effect for several counties. The National Weather Service's flood warnings remained in effect today in Bureau, Henry, Putnam, Rock Island, Whiteside, and Winnebago counties. But a flood watch for Lake County expired yesterday. The Weather Service says up to 8 inches of snow had accumulated in some areas north of Chicago on Sunday, with lesser amounts on the ground to the south. Chicago Streets and Sanitation spokesman Matt Smith says his agency received 104 reports of downed trees and branches during Sunday's storm. The agency's snowplows were out on the streets until about 1 p.m. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bostrick. April 1st is a day of celebration for those who enjoy satire. But it can be a day of upset for those who are the targets of such satire, and a court is sometimes asked to sort it all out. Here's commentator Amy Guida with this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
If you read in the newspaper that a 6-year-old girl had been shackled and put in jail after writing a book report about the children's picture book titled Where the Wild Things Are, would you believe it? What if the story reported that the judge ordered the 6-year-old detained for 10 days, saying that it was time for the United States to stop treating kids like children? And that the paper also suggested that the charges came after officials at the 6-year-old's elementary school found the acts of cannibalism, fanaticism, and disorderly conduct outlined in her book report troubling and dangerous. Take a look at the date before you answer. It's April Fool's Day week, a period in which many come to expect the pulling of legs and the goofiest of jokes, even from the most reputable of sources, like, say, the local newspaper. Some reporters and editors traditionally share a good laugh this week, creating a fake front page or fake inside pages that mock or mislead, all in good fun. The only trouble is that some readers aren't laughing. These are the people who believe the April Fool's pages to be not a mockery, but fact. These can also be the people mocked in the article. If the article's focus is a real person, he or she may not be laughing either. Take the newspaper in California that included in its April Fool's parody edition a fake letter to the editor written by a real local landlord. The letter suggested that he used electroshock therapy to keep his tenants in line. Or the newspaper in Connecticut that suggested that a real local developer planned to build a 250,000-square-foot store and the state's largest restaurant with scantily clad waitresses near a local school and church. Okay, perhaps we had to be there to see the humor. And that's all part of the analysis when those mocked file defamation lawsuits against the newspapers. As the court in the California case explained, the issue was whether the average reader reading that paper would have recognized the material as a joke. That average reader can't be, in one court's words, a dullard. He or she appreciates satire. And that standard is why most courts rule in favor of the newspapers in these April Fool's edition cases. If it's a parody, courts have explained in so many words, it can't be defamatory, because the average reader understands that it's all made up, and a made-up article can't damage one's reputation. That story about the 6-year-old girl's book report, that was a parody too, written for a Texas newspaper. Readers who believed the news story wrote angry letters to the judge and the prosecutor, threatening their removal from office. But even there, the Texas Supreme Court refused to find the newspaper liable for defamation. Some people, it wrote, even believed stories in the satirical newspaper The Onion, but those aren't the reasonable ones. Put another way, they are April Fools. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. Becoming partly sunny today with a high around 55 degrees. We'll have winds 10 to 15 miles an hour with gusts near 25 in the afternoon. Mostly cloudy tonight, a chance of showers and thunderstorms after midnight, the low around 42. Showers likely tomorrow, a chance of thunderstorms, the high around 55. South winds up to 20 miles per hour. Mostly cloudy Tuesday evening, the low around 35. Mostly sunny Wednesday, the high around 55. Mostly cloudy Wednesday night, the low around 38 degrees with a chance of showers. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Monday, March 30th, you can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.